The Lord has wrought a real miracle here. Usually after sometimes a great man has been somewhere, and y'all had a great man here. Usually after that, it churches split, fall apart, and then nobody there no more. And look what the Lord has done here. Y'all not take that lightly. And thank God. And thank God for a great man the Lord has given you. I believe that. He's given you a great man. And thank the Lord for that. I love the ministry, and I love the people of the ministry. It is my life. I gave my life to God in full-time surrender and full-time service in 2005. I loaded up everything that I owned in the back of a 1992 Ford Ranger. Single cab, straight shift, two-seat Ford Ranger. And told my mama and my daddy goodbye. Left my good paying job at Bell South Telephone Company, which is now AT&T. And left my good job as training to be a lineman. I'd have been a union line worker. Climbing power poles, telephone poles, and making somewhere then topped out in the mid-30s. I don't know what they make now, probably nothing, I don't know. Nobody had no idea back then that everybody was going to quit putting up lines and it was going to start going satellites and all that. But I left that job and loaded up everything that I had, and I didn't have much. And said the Lord had called me to preach and sent me, and found myself in North Augusta, South Carolina, where I met Brother Rochester and Miss Jenny and the children, and that's been my life ever since, wide open, trying to serve the Lord the best way I know how. This is what I do, and I'm grateful to be able to do this with people that's interested in serving God. Is helping me in the choir tonight. Thank the Lord. I like watching folks just clear them off a spot on a Wednesday night. The crowd's done gone somewhere else. It ain't nobody but us. And get to singing about I'm on the winning side. And just worship the Lord. Somebody said, what's worship look like? Can you describe to me what it looks like? I don't know if I can, but I say it like this. It's where you drown out everybody else that's in the room. Maybe praise would be. What's praise look like? It's where you drown out everybody else in the room and all you can see is Jesus. And you just forget everybody else is here and get beside yourself. That'd do some of us distinguished Baptists pretty good just to get beside ourselves on a Wednesday night. Forget everybody else is here and just love on Jesus for a little while. Brother Rochester, I had to apologize to my church. I really didn't apologize to them. I kind of did. But we had a Wednesday night service a few weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, I guess. And the Lord's been moving around our place, and I took off. I know y'all going to throw rocks at me. Some of y'all are so distinguished up here in upstate South Carolina. I know y'all are more redneck than y'all letting on tonight. And the Lord moved in there. And it's all I could do. I took off running. I run out the door and run out back and shouting, thanking the Lord. And come back in. I know that scared some folks. But come back in and told my church, I said, I done got too big for my own britches. Preached too many big meetings and got too when I was a nobody and nobody knew me and I was nowhere, just out there in the woods. It's liable any other service is to take off running and shouting like I didn't have good sense. And praise God, but I got to be some, I didn't really get to be somebody, but thought I'd got to be somebody and was too big, too dignified, too distinguished to just clear me off a spot and praise God, and had to apologize to my church for being too distinguished and too dignified. Some of us probably ought to apologize to the Lord for being too distinguished and dignified, clear you off a spot, put both hands in the air and thank God that you're saved. You can't go to hell if you wanted to. It'll help you. you're liable to find out you enjoy church again. Huh? You're liable to find out you enjoy church again. I tell you, there's one fellow enjoying church tonight. He's standing up there in the choir saying stuff like, this is the quietest world you're ever going to live. If nobody else was enjoying church, that fellow has enjoyed himself in church tonight. I say keep enjoying yourself. Keep enjoying yourself. You say, well, who are you to say that? Well, I'm nobody, but I'm just that onlooker looking in. Thank God. Hey, listen, down there where I pastor, half the crowd's enjoying herself. The other half the crowd is scared absolutely out of their mind. They keep coming back. They keep coming back. And every now and then one of them will get. We had a little boy the other night. He's just as quiet and backwards. He really is quiet. We actually had a school chapel service. And God moved in there. I'm telling you, God moved in there. And them kids got to worshiping the Lord. Y'all do know kids will worship the Lord. And you ain't got to take them to a contemporary church to get kids involved in serving the Lord. Just have the holiness and the power of God. And they'll enter into that and worship the Lord. And boy, the Lord moved in there. I'm telling them kids were on altar. God was saving some of them kids on the altar that morning. And he did. One of them come and got me and said, I got saved. I said, you did? Didn't even need my help. I said, the Christian school kids usually don't need your help. We usually get in their way, you know, trying to make them repeat stuff. And they just need to tell the Lord the truth about who they are. And he came down there on the altar and got up off the altar and come and got me. Here's how you know somebody gets saved. They'll go tell somebody. He come and got me. He said, I got saved. I said, how do you know? I said, what happened? He said, I asked the Lord to save me. I said, what'd he do? He said, he saved me. I said, well, what are you? He said, I'm saved. Good enough for me. I didn't even have to help the boy. I know some folks you have to, but we get in the way sometimes trying to help talk people into believing stuff that the Lord's going to have to help them with. One of them boys, he's quiet and bashful and backwards, and God got all over that boy. And he bowed his head and he got to weeping and shaking and weeping, put both hands in the air and weeping. And I'm going to tell you something, they know what's real. And some of us grown-ups need to get over being dignified and just be real with the Lord. He's been too good to us. He's been too good to us for us to sit there and not praise him. Y'all help me right there. That's the truth. Same way, everywhere you go, about half the folks wanting to shout and praise God, and the other half of them scared out of their mind, and that's all right. It ain't going to hurt you to be scared every now and then. Let's stand tonight. Take your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 8th chapter, Exodus chapter number 8 tonight. And the sound man told me, he said, you're breaking sound barrier records or something like that. He said, we're turning you down. He said, we don't need it, the lapel. Am I even on? He said, we don't need the lapel in here. He said, we hear you with the acoustics just fine. He said, but we got it for them out there. And I don't know if they, can they hear me out there? They can hear me out there, can't they, Brother Sam? And I'm honored, man. I've had a good time. And I really have. Thank you all for everything. I try to, and I know he's kidding with me. He's having a good time cutting up. But back a little while back, Brother Rochester, you're not going to believe this. You know me a long time. I tried to get more dignified. I really did. I tried to quit preaching so loud. I had a big money family come to my church, and they was so uppity. And they, you know, they I say it's big money family. They just was well to do. You know, they're so uppity. And I thought, now you're gonna have to do better. Quit being such a redneck if you're gonna keep the folks like this around. And so I tried to get dignified and that lasted a little while, and I got over myself. So I am who I am. Some of y'all said, well, he's loud. I can't preach no other way. I'm sorry. I tried to be quieter, and I was born with this big old mouth, so loud. But thank God he gave me a purpose to use it. Somebody help me right there. Exodus chapter number 8. Y'all want to read a few verses with me tonight? Verse 25. Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 25. Thank you so much. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." We'll stop reading there tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you, Lord, for the Morning Star Baptist Church. I thank you for these men and these ladies, Lord, that are interested in serving you. God, it's very evident, Lord, that you've done and are doing a great work here. Lord, it's evident to see. Lord, thank you, God, for the servants of the Lord that have gathered on a Wednesday night. God, I pray you'd bless every individual, bless every home, every family. Lord, as they endeavor to serve you in these last days. God, help me tonight as I preach. God, and we close out this meeting. I pray, God, for your power. I pray, God, for your unction. I pray, God, that you'd touch. Lord, we'll thank you now. In Christ's name, all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I said all that a moment ago, kidding around, but I do want to slow down a little bit tonight, if the Lord will help me. And I want to emphasize a few thoughts out of the text that we've read in a few verses that we've not read, but we'll look at them in a moment. And I want to talk to you tonight about this little nation of Israel that has been called by God to leave Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. How many of y'all know that? Called by God to leave Egypt and to serve God. And God's going to take them from Egypt into the land of Canaan. And it is the Lord's workings in their life, because the Lord is interested in getting them out of Egypt and bringing them into the land of Canaan, that they might live in the joy and the victory and the goodness of God. I'll make a statement to you tonight. The Lord has saved you that you might live with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The Lord did not save you for you to wander in the wilderness all the days of your life. The Lord did not save you and me for us to get by the skin of our teeth. But the Lord saved us that we might live in the joy and the blessings and the power and the presence of God. You are familiar with our text. You're familiar with the great deliverance of the Lord, bringing the Israelites out of Egypt into their journey on their way to Canaan. I want to say to you tonight that it is a call, I guess I'd say it like this, it is a call to worship God. And it's going to cost them some things. Of course, it's better off to go with God and it costs you something than to live for this world and it costs you everything. Amen. And the Lord is calling them, he's drawing them, And I want to thank God tonight for the day that the Lord walked into where I was in Egypt, saw me in my sin, and he did not leave me the way that he found me, but he brought me up. We saw it last night. It's worthy of shouting amen over again. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's bringing them out. He's bringing them to serve God. But there's one little problem. The Lord is calling them to worship. The Lord is calling them to be a people that he puts his hand on. No doubt there is typology here of the church and the Christian. The Lord is calling them to leave Egypt. But there is a barrier standing in their way, and it is a man named Pharaoh. I want to say to you tonight, in our homes, in our churches, that Pharaoh, that great picture of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that Pharaoh is interested in hindering what God is doing in and through your life. God's never done anything in your life that Pharaoh, that Satan has not tried to hinder the work of God in your life. That's why all of this is a miracle. That's why all of us are a miracle, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And in spite of all the devil's attempts to get you out and to keep you out and to keep you from getting in, thank God the Lord Jesus stepped in and made a way in your life. When God is calling them out, Pharaoh stands in the way. And as he stands in the way, you've noticed this, you've seen this, you've heard this preached. But I want to preach it to you tonight with the Lord's help. There are compromises that Pharaoh, four of them as a matter of fact, that Pharaoh offers the nation of Israel, and he says, you can serve God, but do it like this. And he does that in order to keep them from living in Canaan. He does that in order to keep them from leaving Egypt. And I'm afraid tonight that in America, I'm afraid tonight that in our churches, we have bought into the compromise that is offered by Pharaoh, and we are settled in doing what we think God has asked us to do while appeasing the world, the flesh, and the devil. So I want to look at these compromises. I don't have an alliterated outline tonight, but just notice with me in verse number 25. And I'm talking to some folks that want to serve God. Talking to some young families that's trying to live for God. Some young people trying to live for God. Some older saints that have marked them off the spot and said, we're going to serve God. You've been doing the best you can as long as you know how. But don't let the devil offer you compromises against what God has asked you and called you to do and be. Verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now here's the first compromise. All right. And it took 9 plagues to get Pharaoh to agree to this first compromise. God had to work in the nation of Israel and in the land of Egypt and send 9 plagues just so Pharaoh would allow them to come this far. And here's what he says. All right. Apparently, it is obvious you have made your mind up you're going to serve God. You're in church on a Wednesday night in November in the dark when it's raining. Apparently, you have made your mind up you're going to serve God. So if you must, if you're going to do it, then do it like this at least. Serve God, but do it in the land. You say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? He said, all right, go serve your God. Be a Christian if you want to, but why do you have to leave Egypt?
Why do you have to sacrifice to God in another place? Why do you have to leave Egypt to go sacrifice God? Can't you live like an Egyptian in Egypt and sacrifice to your God at the same time? Has anybody in the South, in South Carolina, in America, ever heard that compromise? Serve yourself, serve Egypt, and serve God at the same time. You ain't got to go nowhere. You ain't got to change nothing. You ain't got to quit nothing. You ain't got to do anything different. Do what you've been doing, and now add this to it at the same time. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to regret jumping off into this, but I'm going to. And oh, by the way, if there's any newcomers in here tonight, I have a sinus infection. I do not have the corona. I know you can tell my head stopped. I done had the corona, and I can just be anywhere I want to. You know the word contemporary? Do you know it means at the same time? It means, the word contemporary, this is my contemporary. It would mean if I were to leave my church and say, this is my contemporary, or it is at the same time. While I'm still alive, he's here. While I'm still here, he's here. This is that's what the word means, at the same time. I got a feeling tonight, the reason why the world is so in love with that movement, and the church world is so in love with that movement, because that movement says you can have Jesus and the world at the same time. The only problem with that is that's a different movement than the movement that I got in under when I got born again. Because Jesus said you can't have that and me at the same time. He said you have to come to me. Come unto me and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Go serve your Lord. Go sacrifice to your God, but do it in the land. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Do that. Do it here. Here's the problem with that. Do you know what they're going to sacrifice in the land of Egypt? Lambs. Isn't that what they sacrifice? Lambs. Did you know the book of Genesis says that, and here's what Moses said. He said, I can't sacrifice lambs in the land of Egypt. He said, they're going to stone me. Brother, he said, they'll stone me for sacrificing lambs in the land of Egypt. Why would the Egyptians stone him for sacrificing lambs in Egypt? Because here's what the book of Genesis said about the Egyptians. It said, every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Do you know what shepherds deal with? Sheep. Now don't get me wrong. The Egyptians made their sacrifices. The Egyptians sacrificed. They sacrificed. But they had a problem with lambs and they had a problem with shepherds. They didn't have a problem with blood. It just depended on what kind of blood it was. They didn't like lamb's blood and they didn't like shepherds. They might kill your baby, but they don't want to hear about the blood of the lamb. They might kill your son, but they don't want to hear about the lamb's blood. Honey, I got news for you. I ain't got no time to yoke up with no crowd who's not interested in the lamb's blood. It is the lamb's blood that saved me. I am saved by the blood of the lamb. And you can't take the blood out of my Bible, and you can't take it out of my hymn book. Satan said, Pharaoh said, go serve God, but do it here. The only problem with that, if they's going to do it here, they had to get rid of shepherds and they had to get rid of lamb's blood.
Ain't that amazing how they've all gotten rid of their shepherds? Oh, y'all ain't helping me now. They all got rid of their shepherds. This one's a pastor. This one's a pastor of that. Everybody, and ain't nobody got a preacher. Ain't nobody got a shepherd. This one's a minister of this. This one's a minister of that. I want to say thank God when I was lost, I had an old-fashioned, rareback preached to me, Holy Ghost-filled, King James Bible preacher that preached to me and preached me lost so I could be found. Thank God for a shepherd. That crowd ain't got a problem with blood. Well, that blood business is just so vulgar, so vile. Them Egyptians didn't mind killing them firstborn babies. Oh, I'll tell you who else had a problem with blood. Cain had a problem with blood. Cain wanted a bloodless religion. Y'all remember God said to Cain, he said, bring me the blood of the animal, bring me the sacrifice. And he brought him the fruit of the ground. He said, that won't do, Cain. Go try again. And Cain was wroth and he would not bring that blood. He had a blood problem. He had a problem with blood. But I'm going to say something to you tonight. He didn't have a problem with shedding blood. He killed his brother. He just had a problem with lamb's blood. He killed his brother. Half this crowd would kill us if they could. I'm talking about some of these contemporary boys. They hate this. They hate old-timey church. They hate hymn songs. They hate King James Bibles. They hate people that shout. They hate our pews. They hate our pulpits. They hate our pulpits of wood. They hate everything about what we do because everything we do has got something to do with a shepherd and with blood. That's why I'm going to keep my pulpit, going to keep my pews, going to keep my shepherd, going to keep my blood, going to keep my cross. It's a bloody cross, but it is the blood that saves from sin. Go serve the Lord, but do it here. All right, here's the problem. If I do it here, I'll have to do it like you do it. If you're going to appease the world, you're going to have to do what they do like they do it. And you know what you're going to have? You may have a building, you may have a program, you may have a crowd, but you will not have church. Are y'all hearing me? I had the privilege years ago to go to the Vatican in Rome. We were heading to Albania, and I went to the Vatican in Rome because I wanted to see it. Do you know what I found when I got there? And I'm not against this. Please don't misunderstand me. But they had a dress code in the Vatican. I'm not against that. And I'm really not. I thank God for dress standards. I really do. I'm not making little of that or light of that. Thank God for people who want to be modest. That's a blessing. But I found they had a dress code there. I found that they had a religion there. I found that they had a pope there. They had all these things. And you know what else I found? There were thousands upon thousands of people trying to get in there. They had religion. They had the dress. And they had the crowd. And I'm going to tell you what they wasn't having. They wasn't having church. Y'all hearing me tonight? When God's calling you to serve Him, one of the biggest compromises that the devil will give you is you can do both at the same time. And I got news for you. You might be able to try to do both at the same time, but what you'll end up with is something second class that don't resemble anything that looks like church or serving God. Notice the second one tonight. I'll hurry. Notice the second one, verse 28. When Moses wouldn't accept that compromise. Verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me. Young Christians, first of all,
devil's going to try to tell you you can do both at the same time. Let me just make a statement, an announcement to you tonight. Just sell out all you got, give it to God, and let God have everything that you are. There ain't no room for doing both. You can't serve two masters. Give him all you got. Give him all you got. If you're a preacher in here tonight, give God all you got. Give God all you got. Give God all you got. Give him all you got. Trust him with it. He can take care of it. And here's the second compromise. Go. All right. You're going to go, you stubborn, bullheaded Christian. That's how the devil talks to folks like us. You stubborn, independent, bullheaded Christian. Go if you must. But don't go very far. I'm not going to spend much time preaching this thought, but I want to ask you, does anybody know how far too far is? All right, go, but don't go very far. I want to ask you seriously, and you think about it, does anybody know how far, very far is? Because that is the line in which the Pharaoh said, you can go, but just don't go very far. So how far have we gone before we've gone very far, before we've gone too far? I think I got an answer. I think the Lord has shown me a truth. I think I've got an answer, and here's the answer. Actually, I believe I know I've got an answer. The Lord commanded in Exodus chapter 3, Moses, take Israel and go a 3 days journey into the wilderness. Now God was going to take them a whole lot further than 3 days journey into the wilderness, but he knows what he's working with. And if he said this is going, you half of us Christian folks wouldn't understand all of that, so he has to talk in little proportions to us. Told Abraham, come follow me. Where are we going, Lord? Abraham, don't ask no more questions. You just come follow me right now, and when we get there, I'll let you know. Huh? Because some of us are backseat drivers and got to orchestrate where God's taking us. Let me stop right here and say this. If you're 14 years old, you ain't got to know the will of God for your life. If you're 24 years old, you ain't got to know the will of God for your life. And if you're 44 years old, you ain't got to know the will of God for your life. As far as what you're going to be next year or next month, all you got to know is, am I in the will of God right now? We put a whole lot of pressure on people. Find the will of God. Find the will of God. Find the will of God. All I want to know is, am I in the will of God right now? I'm in the will of God right now in upstate South Carolina, Morningstar Baptist Church. And tomorrow morning, if it changes, God will let me know. But until then, I want to do what he's asked me to do when he's asked me to do it. If God told me where I'd be 20 years from now, I'd probably quit the ministry right now. Be so afraid of all that. He said, go 3 days journey. God's going to take him a whole lot further than a 3 days journey. But he knows he can't tell them all that. He just said, go 3 days. So how far is too far? Anything short of what God said. If God said, go 2 days journey, then a day would be too short. If God said, go a 3 days journey, then 2 days would be too short. If God said, go 3 days journey, then 2.5 days will be too short. God will tell you to go where you can go with his help. He said 3 days. When Pharaoh said, Moses, you can go, but don't go too far. What was Pharaoh saying? Moses, you can go, but you better not go all the way. 3 days journey. Y'all listen right here at me tonight for just a second. How many sitting in this place, the Holy Ghost of God has told you some things in your life that you're supposed to do, and you did them to a certain point, but you quit. Yeah. Because the devil said, all right, go, but don't go too far. As grown men in here, God's asked you to do things, and you've done, and here's how we operate. God will tell you to do something, and it'll be the one thing you don't want to do, and you'll do 10 things in its place to try to suffice God instead of the one thing that God asked you to do that you're supposed to do. When you watch somebody getting real religious, either they're selling all they got out for God and going with God, or they're running from something that God's trying to get them to do, and they got religion in 12 other places, hoping that God will be satisfied with all of that. And the one thing he asked them to do. Y'all see that? Go, but don't go too far. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you you can't go where God has called you to go. God may never tell you to leave Packlet, South Carolina. He probably won't, most of us. God may never tell you to leave here, but God will tell you to leave some things in your life. And don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you you can't live without it. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all want to see another one? There's only four of them. We're halfway there. Look at Exodus chapter number 10, verse number 10. Actually, verse 8. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 8. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh after he refused the first compromise. The second one was offered. After he refused the second compromise, the third one is now offered. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Here's the first one. What's the first one? Go, serve God, but do it here, same time. Have the world and have God, same time. Not going to happen, Pharaoh. What's the second compromise? Go, serve God, but don't go too far. Not going to happen, Pharaoh. Here's the next one. All right, go. Serve God, but leave them kids here. Ain't no point in the world in you making them suffer for Jesus' sake. Leave them here and let us watch them while you go. I got to say this tonight. I do this all the time. Not only do I pastor, but God allowed me to preach in several places. And you'd be surprised the times and the places where I am in places where there are good Christian folks that are serving God in the church, but they've allowed their children to be babysit by Egypt while they go to church and try to serve God. Wednesday night, they're in church, but they dropped their kids off in Egypt on their way. Let Egypt, but that's what he said. Go serve God, but would you leave them kids here? Do you know there's a temptation to that? You say, preacher, what in the world could be the temptation to let Pharaoh and Egypt watch the kids? Because if you got kids, you know how easy it is to drop them off somewhere and let somebody else watch them. Huh? Thank God for grandparents. Come on, Mom and Daddy. Friday night, worked all week long. Grandma, you got time to watch some kids? Good, we was on the way. He was already on the way when you called Grandma. Huh? I'm not saying Grandma's Egypt. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God for good godly grandmas. But it's easier. Y'all hear me? It's easier. It's easier to fight. It's easier than to fight. It's easier than to sacrifice. It's easier. We look at them kids and we say, oh, look what all I've given up. And the devil will say, you don't want your kids to have to suffer. You don't want your kids to have to sacrifice. You want your kids to have everything that you didn't have. I'm going to say something to you tonight. There's some things that I had I don't want my kids to have. But there's some things I had I want them to have what I had. Everything I had wasn't bad. Thank God for some folks that took me to church when I didn't feel like going to church because it's right to go to church. Amen.
The temptation of this compromise is, it's easier. Don't let them suffer. Don't make them sacrifice. Well, preacher, my kids just don't like sitting in church. They don't like going to bed either, do they? Huh? Hopefully you make them do that. Well, they don't like eating their vegetables either, do they? But you make them. I'm not even sure we make them do that no more. I do. Brother Jackie, is that right? I'm going to tell you something, preacher. I had too much poured into me for me to not pour it into mine. I know the internet says it ain't popular, you know, you're gonna squash who they are and all that, but I can't find hardly no truth on the internet anyhow. Amen. It's easy. All right, I'm leaving tonight. Y'all don't throw no stones at me. I'm not leaving tonight. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I'm just going to be honest while I'm here. I ain't against these things. I hate them. I really do. Don't y'all hate these things? They're such a blessing with such a curse. I wish I could go back to the time where you just had to leave me a message at the house, and when I got home, I might get it. Play that tape. Turn it over. Put it on the other side. I really do hate these things. I got a whole lot of restrictions on mine just because I don't want no temptations in my life. And so I keep my wife got the password on, keeps all of them restricted and all kinds of stuff. I don't want no trouble. I'm not looking for trouble in my life. I'm looking to stay away from trouble. I want the power of God. I want the hand of God on my ministry. I want my kids to turn out right. I ain't got no time for no trouble in my life. I'm trying to do right. Y'all help me right there. Amen. But mom and daddy, you better be careful. You don't hand them Egypt and say, y'all run off in there and let Egypt babysit you. You answer to God. I'm not your God. I'm not trying to tell you what you're supposed to do. You answer to God. And but we ought to be careful before we give them Egypt and say, now let Egypt. It's so easy to let Egypt babysit them. Huh? Yeah. And we don't know what kind of influence that Egypt is having on our babies. Well, my kid would never. Your kid might not, but Egypt would. And if Egypt does long enough, your kid will. Preacher, my kid, they're too innocent. They wouldn't even know what to look for. That's not the problem. It's not them looking for Egypt. Egypt's looking for them. You remember Luke 15, the prodigal son? Where did the prodigal son go? What was the name of the country? The far country. How did he get there? Apparently it wasn't too far. He'd been told, that's the far country, that's the far country. But when he got ready to go, he knew how to get to the far country. And apparently the far country wasn't as far as they thought it was. And I don't think it's because we got bad parents that don't love our children. And I don't think it's because we got ungodly parents that don't love God. I think it's because we have taken the compromise to let Egypt babysit our babies, babysit our children. We've given them over and didn't even realize what we've done. But honey, you better listen to me. In 2020, there's more devils crawling out of hell coming after your church and after your children and after their minds and after their purity. Would to God somebody put their foot down mouth and look at the devil and Pharaoh straight in the face and say, I'm done with you trying to steal mine. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God here on out. Go, but leave your kids. Let me show you this last one tonight. Oh, by the way, let me say this. Preacher, if I take my kids with me serving God, what if they don't like me? What if they get mad? Boy, haven't we? Didn't Isaiah said, y'all have to amen the Bible. Didn't Isaiah said that when a nation was under curse would be when children and women and children ruled over the nation? Because there wasn't no men left to do anything. Ain't that what Isaiah said? We still believe our Bible, don't we? What about you're supposed to rule over them and not them rule over you? So what about it don't really matter? Yeah. But, just go ahead and say it. Preacher, what if it kills them serving Jesus? It's so heartbreaking and they have to leave their friends and their family. And we can't do that to them. Don't you forget that Egypt kills children. Pharaoh had just tried to kill Moses. What if you leave them in Egypt and Egypt kills them? I ain't ever seen Jesus take none of them that it wasn't in his will and for his glory, for our good. Let me give you this last one and I'm done tonight. Pharaoh called, verse 24 of chapter 10. Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, you serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may serve unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. Here's the last one. Number one, go, but do it here. It don't work. Number two, serve God, but don't go too far. Too far is just as far as God said go. Number three, go, but leave your children here. How about this? Take your kids with you and serve the Lord. You'll have to decide whether or not they can handle this. I've made certain decisions for my home, and I'm not trying to put my decisions on you. You'll have to decide whether or not they can. But I can promise you this much, you better lock Egypt down every way you can. Go, but don't take your kids. Moses said, no, we're taking them with us. Here's the last compromise he tells to this crowd trying to serve God. Go, but leave your herds here. But you go. What does that mean? That was their business. That was their livelihood. That was their money. When he couldn't get them to stay, and oh, by the way, the reason why he went after their kids is because he could not get them. Had Moses got Pharaoh, there had never been any talk about their children. Hear what I'm about to say. You know why hell's after your kids so bad right now? Because he couldn't get you. If it could have got you, it never would have even talked about your kids. Because if hell had you, it'd have your kids too. But it didn't get you. And that's why Pharaoh's after your kids so bad. Because it couldn't get you. I'm going to stop and say thank God that he couldn't get me. And by the grace of God, I don't want him to get them. Go. But leave your herds here. Leave your stuff here. I'm done preaching with this. Here's what Moses said. No, can't do that. Because we don't know what it'll cost us to serve God. So therefore, everything we got is loading up with us and headed out. If Pharaoh could get you to leave your money, here's how Christian folks talk. Well, now church and business is two different things. God's got my heart, He saved me, but He gave me a mind for money. And that money I got to save for retirement and 401k. I'm not against all those kinds of things. But how about this? Lord, that's your money and this is your house. Everything I got belongs to you. And there ain't nothing I got you can't have if you want it. If you come by one day and say, give it all to me and sell it all and go be a missionary in Venezuela, Argentina, or Africa, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll follow where you call me to be, because you're God and everything I got is yours. Brother Rochester, about 5 years ago, the Lord gave us a house. I said, gave it to us. He gives us money every month to pay for it. Y'all have me right there. But it's everything I wanted. Wrap around porch, wood burning fireplace. Whew. That it ain't ever cold enough to use. Like three times a year. It's 59 degrees. Light up the fireplace. Burr. 0.6 of a mile long driveway. You can't see my house from the road. I got a gate at the end of the driveway. The Lord let it. I bought 10 acres in the house back there. Got a pond with a dock and a barn and a fenced in, 2.5 acres fenced in. Bought me some cows, some sure enough purebred Hereford cows, and put them on there. Somebody holler, amen. We're going to have steak. I'm a farmer at heart. Don't let this pretty tie fool you. My wife dresses me for church. Don't let this tie fool you. I'm a farmer at heart. Cows and pigs and horses and goats. I don't really like goats. As a matter of fact, I don't like goats at all. If you like goats, sorry. Tractors. God let us buy that 40 acres in front of us in December. I got 50 acres. I ain't bragging. It was a foreclosure. I could have never afforded it. The house was actually built the year I took the church, and it hid back there, and it was foreclosed, and it set for 3 years, and we was able to buy it 5 years ago. And when I pull in that driveway tomorrow, I ain't ever pulled in that driveway when I wasn't amazed that God let me live there. That's the honest truth. I pull in that driveway and I think about them days when I left Bell South Telephone Company in that 92 Ford Ranger and all I had in the back, and think, oh my goodness, look what the Lord has done. I love it. I thank God for it. But brother, one night a few weeks ago, I got to loving that place so much. It's honest truth. I guess it's a few months ago. I got to loving that place so much, and I began to wonder and think, what if God was to ever call me somewhere else and I had to leave this? And I even made the statement, I don't know if I made it out loud or in my mind, but I remember the thought that I'd have to find something like this somewhere else for me to leave. And one afternoon I got on the golf cart and I rode that property. And God got to dealing with my heart. You didn't have none of this when you started out. I gave all of it to you. Look what I've done for you. If I was to ask you for it again, would you give it to me? And you know, I'm telling you honest before God, if God will let me retire there, if God will let me die there, I'll live the rest of my life pastoring Crossroads Baptist Church in Hepsiba, Georgia, and feeding them cows and living on that farm. But honey, I had to tell God, you gave it to me. If you want it, I'll give it back to you. It didn't belong. belong to me in the first place. And if one day you say, leave it all, God, it's all yours, you can still have it all.
You can still have it all.
What do you got tonight that God can't have?
You know why he can't have it? Because Pharaoh told you you can't live without it. But here's the truth, you can't live for God till he has it. What does he have? What do you have that he wants? Young person, what do you have tonight? Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a person. And God's told you to get rid of them. And you ain't got rid of them. And you can't have what God's got until you get rid of what God's asked you to get rid of. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you you can't do that. You can give God all you got. He knows how to do better with it than you do. Let's stand tonight. Miss Brittany, if you'll come again, I want to let our piano player, if she wants to come and pray, to be able to with her family. I want my wife to come sing. I do that most everywhere I go. Mom and Daddy, have you decided to serve the Lord but let your kids decide for themselves and left them in Egypt? Won't you go get them tonight and say you're coming with me? Huh? Won't you get your family and say, let's do this together? Let's serve God together. What about some homes tonight? Come get on the altar together. So we're going to serve God together. What about it tonight? She's playing. Would you come? People's already come. Would there be others tonight? God, you can have what I got. Would there be a young person tonight? God, what I got, you can have. I give it to you. You can have it. I'll give it to you, Lord. What I got, yours. What about it? As she sings, what about it?
As we travel through the desert, storms be said, us on our way, but beyond the river Jordan lies a field of endless days. Jesus, Jesus, he will.